he was up here leading us. And I trust this morning that it's a habit, a practice that you have to pray for your ministers. Pray for them in preparations for their Sunday morning messages and for their work through the week. It's just a blessing for them and an encouragement to know that people pray for them. I know my own life and time passed, and too many times I come to church on Sunday morning, really hadn't thought much about the service and praying for the pastor and so on. But this morning I just want to encourage you, pray for them. It's such a meaningful thing for them to know that you do pray for them. Well, we bring you a greeting this morning in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he is the one who is worthy to be praised. And in Revelation chapter 4, you find a verse that reads like this. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." It's talking about Jesus. He's the one that's worthy to receive from us all that we can give him from the depth of our being and our hearts in worship and praise and adoration. I think I heard Tony say that he appreciates a friendship relationship with the pastor, with your ministers. You know, Jesus one day called his disciples friends. That's one of the warmest greetings, the warmest relationship that there is, to be a friend, one who's close to your heart. And I trust this morning that you've experienced friendship with your pastors, all of you. That is a blessing. My wife would have loved to come along this morning, and she was looking forward to that, but this week she's been sick, and it just didn't work this morning. I'd feel so good if she was here with me, but I came by myself today. There's no better place on earth to be than in the meeting house with the church, with God's people. It's a beautiful opportunity we have. You know, we live in a beautiful land. God has blessed us abundantly with freedoms that we have and all the abundance of goodness. Just recently, I've been thinking a lot more about people in other parts of the world. They would love to be here, or where they are, they would just love to have the freedoms and the privileges that we have. But Islam is very aggressive, and there's a lot of suffering going on. Christians are losing their lives for their faith. They're not willing to give up their faith, and that's good, that's right. They give their life instead. And here we live in all the freedoms and all the blessings that we have in this beautiful place. I trust this morning that there's gratitude in our hearts continually for the blessing the Lord bestows upon us. Well, today is Pastor's Appreciation Day at Calvary Chapel, and I look forward to coming and sharing with you to encourage you. I came this morning believing that you do appreciate your pastors. I didn't come this morning to bring criticism, because I think you do. You have a good minister's team. They have a working together relationship, and I believe that you appreciate them. I commend you. I commend you for what you've done in expressing appreciation and encouraging them. This morning, we just want to think about some things again to remind us. The Apostle Peter expressed his desire. He said his desire is that after his departure, that you would remember the things that he's been taught. Are you a forgetful person? Well, I am too much. It seems like it's getting more that way as the years go by. But my wife gets tired reminding me sometimes. Well, she's a first-minute person. Get it done. I'm a last-minute person, so she always wonders, are you going to get it done or not? But, you know, we tend to forget. That's one of the responsibilities of pastors, to keep us in remembrance of the beautiful things that the Lord taught us from the Scriptures, to have a good relationship with God himself through Jesus Christ, and good relationships together. So this morning, I just want to refresh your mind and bring back to memory a lot of things that you already know, or that you knew, and maybe that slipped away from the last year. Tony said a little while ago that, you know, we need reminders. Sometimes we kind of let things slip, and we don't think about them when we should. I didn't come this morning to elevate your pastors, to put them on a pedestal. That's not their desire. It's not God's desire for them. There's so many times that the Apostle Paul, when he was writing and when he was teaching, I would assume he taught the same things he wrote. But in writing, he would call the people brethren. They were his brothers. Yeah, your pastors are your brothers. Their wives are your sisters. Yeah, they're not on a pedestal. They're here as servants, called by God to fill a place of responsibility. Their position, their responsibility is different from most of the rest of us. Well, we do have some things in common with our pastors. But we need to recognize them, and we need to encourage them and make them know that we appreciate them. No, this could work two ways. As I encourage you people to appreciate your pastors, they're going to be listening and they're going to know what they should be and what they should do so they're appreciated. So it works both ways, see. So let's think about these things together for a little bit. There's probably a key passage in 1 Thessalonians, if you want to turn your Bible to that. We'll just look at a couple of verses there just for a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and the first part of verse 13 for the moment, where it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Now, let's stop there just for a moment. You know, this is the arrangement that God has made for the church. He says, you should know them. You should have a relationship with them. You should hear them. You should understand them. They labor among you. And it says, they are over you in the Lord. They stand before you, representing God to you. Oh, now that don't depreciate the matter that everyone has a connection to God. No, we all have that relationship. But the pastors have a position over you, to guide you, to encourage you, to help you know and understand. And then verse 13 and 4 part of that verse says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You know, this whole matter of esteeming them and to honor them, to think highly of them, no, it begins in our hearts. It begins with the attitudes that we have. You know, it's pretty hard to esteem someone really highly in love if we don't really have the right kind of spirit toward them. No, we need to, in our hearts, we need to have the right kind of spirit toward our pastors. How do you feel toward your pastors? Do you have feelings of peace? Do you have feelings of love? I trust that you do. In Jeremiah 29:11, this is before the children of Israel went into captivity. God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not evil, because he's going to bring them to an expected end. Now, there's, you think about the attitude there, that's the expression of God. The thoughts that I had toward his people, there were thoughts of peace. There were thoughts of good. His desire for them was to bring them close to himself in a beautiful relationship. During that period of captivity, they were delivered from this awful thing of idolatry that they were so much involved with. That was a beautiful thing. The period of captivity lasted 70 years, and that was a difficult time for the children of Israel. And they hung their harps on the willows, weeping. Oh, where's that beautiful land we once knew? And those things. But God did it because he loved them. He wanted them to come close to himself without those idols in the way. So he brought them through that experience for their benefit because he loved them. Do you have thoughts of peace toward your ministers? No, years ago, there was a brother at home that, this particular brother, had a problem with tobacco. And he knew in his heart that, you know, the church there, the pastors and all, we took a stand against that kind of practice and all. And he's talking to the pastor one day, and he says, yeah, he said, I know my smoking has always kind of been a problem between you and I. Well, that's too bad. No, there don't have to be problems between us and our pastors. No, the problems that we have with things that we kind of hang on to for ourselves, that we don't want to give up, we don't want to listen to them, and things that get in the way, you know, they just destroy a beautiful relationship that we could have. You see, so what kind of thoughts do you have? You're coming to church on Sunday morning, and are you thinking in your heart, you know, our pastors are going to be there. They look forward to that. Do you look forward to that? They love us. Do you feel that way in your heart? I trust you do. Do you look forward to a good message every Sunday morning when you come? You know, we talked about praying for our pastors and so on a minute ago. You know, if you pray for your pastors Sunday through the week and Sunday mornings you come to church, it'll help them. It'll help them prepare a good message. And it'll prepare your heart to receive something to bless your soul from that message. So I encourage you, friends, to keep on praying for your pastors. You know, there's a wonderful example of Jesus. No, he was at the tomb with Lazarus, and there he wept. He wept with those that were there. They were friends. He felt with them. You know, it's like pastors feel with their people. Weep with them, rejoice with them, and so on. And somebody said, oh, how he loved him. There was a love relationship between the Lord Jesus and that man Lazarus, and Jesus wept with those that were there. We think about the Lord Jesus, and we think about his life. You know, we think about the the fact that Jesus gave his life on the cross. Yeah, Jesus gave his life. Well, yeah, that's what it was. But it's not that. That's not all that it was. Jesus gave the hours of his life, about 3 years of ministry on earth, or 3.5, somewhere about there. He gave that period of time. He gave himself to it. That was his purpose for being here. And he fulfilled it well. And look, you know, take example from that for your pastors, you know. Give your life for the sake of the church. They do that. There's a lot goes on in pastoring that most of you really don't realize. There's a lot of time spent, a lot of hours here and there, going here and there, visiting here and there, counseling with people here and there. All those things. They're giving themselves. They're giving their life for the sake of the church. Well, they may never be crucified to that point. They might not be killed for their faith to that extent. But they're giving their life for your life, for you to experience abundant life in Jesus Christ. The church was a priority for Jesus. The church is a priority for your pastors as they do their work well. And a brother that I think about along the way gave his testimony one time in the Cuba church. His name was Menno Beachy, and he was the leader of the Mountain Anthem group right from the start. He was one that helped the group get started. He led the group for years. He had a beautiful spirit. He had a beautiful voice to sing. He was appreciated a lot. But one day he said like this. He said back there when he felt the Lord's call to give leadership to the Mountain Anthems, he made a decision. He said, nothing else is going to get in the way of my work and my ministry with the Mountain Anthems. He made it a priority. He gave himself to it. The Lord provided everything else he needed along through life, but he gave his life, a priority in his life, for the sake of the development of the Mountain Anthems. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Our work in ministry should be a priority. And friends, today, when you see your ministers being available and doing their work well, bless them and encourage them. It's a tremendous blessing that you have. It's you and the well-being of your soul that's always foremost in their mind as they think of you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, the last part of that verse, It says like this. Hebrews 13, last part of verse 17. It says, they must give account for you. And if they give that account with joy instead of grief, that would be a good thing for you, because here are the sheep that you gave to me, to my fold. Here they are, Lord. Be a joyful experience for them to stand before the Lord and present that. But if the sheep have gone away, it's going to be a hard time. It's going to be a grievous time, because weeping in their hearts, the sheep that you gave me, they're not here. Well, it can be a part of a carelessness on the shepherd's part. Because sometimes it talks about shepherds being hirelings, caring not for the sheep. That's not the kind you have here. They have the kind that want to bring you along to glory. And there, with an experience of joy with you before the King, and a blessing for you because eternity is there. Work with the pastor to help you arrive there in the presence of, of the Lord forever. Is there gratitude in your hearts as you think of them this morning? As you come to church on Sunday morning, I trust that you have beautiful thoughts. Our pastors will be there. There'll be a smile and a handshake, a warm spirit. We'll have a good sermon this morning. You know, the relationship to your pastor depends so much on how you think. Esteem them very highly in your minds, in your hearts. Now, I brought something along for you this morning. If you'll pass out these bookmarks, fellows, I'll appreciate it. Here's a little bookmark. It's not very big, a little gift from me to you. As you see that, you might remember some things I said this morning. You might remember being here. But this little bookmark reads like this. It says, "You are, I am, in the very presence of the Holy God, all the time, everywhere. Even my thoughts are as an open book before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I will always reverence His presence." This little bookmark developed as a follow-up for a message that I preach sometimes on that very subject. You are, I am, in the very presence of a holy God all the time, everywhere. And it's just a reminder for us. This down here, get down here to this little part where it says, "Even my thoughts are as an open book before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." That's God. Even our thoughts. And when you think about your pastors, how you think about them, the Lord knows. So I encourage you this morning to think in reverence before the holy God. When you think about your pastor, you think about your church, and so on, and help to ask the Lord to direct your thoughts that you might know how to express your appreciation and bless them. We learned that, you know, down in Graybill, and to have Graybill days, our church has a booth there. We have CDs and little tracks and so on for the people as they come by. And we learned that about 90% of the people will take a bookmark. Now, this is a simple little thing. I kind of got this little message together, and Jason Delagrange, who is an artist in our congregation, stuck it on his computer, and he made it look nice. It's attractive. About 90% of the people will take a bookmark when they walk through. And if they use it, they'll see a little message from time to time. So I had 1,000 of them and got them all passed away. So I ordered another 1,000 of them. But, you know, not just this little message. There's 1,000 little messages you could put on. You could put on a little bookmark like this and hand it to people. Also, you hand a little bookmark to somebody with a little message on it. It gives you an opportunity. It gives you a place to start talking with them about some things that have to do with eternal life, eternity, and all. So I found those little bookmarks a blessing. It's a little gift from me. They're really cheap. I think they cost about 6 cents a piece is all they cost. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it reads like this. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Double honor. Yeah, honor them for their position. You know, we need them. We need pastors. In 1 Kings, you read the account where it talks about Israel. They were scattered in the hills like sheep who didn't have a shepherd. Well, the Bible likens us to sheep. Sheep need a shepherd. And we are sheep. We need a shepherd. And we should be so grateful for the way the Lord has established things for us. We go back to Numbers 27, way back here in the Old Testament, Numbers 27, verse 16 and 17. It reads like this. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep that have no shepherd and have been scattered. Well, that's way back there in the Old Testament. God had this principle established for the benefit of the people of his creation. In Matthew chapter 9, there's a verse there that I look out just for a moment. Matthew chapter 9, and it's verse 36. And this is what it says. But when he saw the multitudes, he's talking about Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, perhaps he's thinking about the people that had no reverence for him, but he's thinking about them too. Here they are. They're out there scattered abroad. There are people outside the church. Bring them in because they need someone to lead them on toward glory. Now, Jesus is the good shepherd. Your pastors are shepherds under the shepherd work of Jesus. Hebrews 11, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Why? Well, we need the fellowship of the saints, but also that's when the shepherd feeds the flock. The shepherd prepares some food, well fed, and he feeds the flock. But if you're not here, it don't really happen much. So, forsake not the assembly. Come, receive, eat. Bless your soul. You know, I'm not on the same page with this movement across the land in so many places where it's home church. It's just I, me, and mine. I don't need anybody else. No. No, we need. We need each other. We need the church. We need our pastors. Beware of this independent spirit. Think good thoughts toward your pastors, appreciation toward God. Think thoughts of gratitude toward God for your pastors. God established the structure of the church because it's good for me. No, I noticed this morning that when your ministers came up here, Tom and Marge didn't come up. Well, it's the same way it happens at Cuba now. Tom and I are on the same page. We have retired after our name. And that's okay. You know, but let's pray. Let's pray for them that are in charge. God established the structure. Us older ones step aside, younger ones pick up and go on. And I appreciated so much the opportunity to get acquainted a little bit more with your pastors at the minister's retreat this year. You know, Dana came and sat down beside James and said, I haven't talked to James yet. And a friendship thing that I enjoyed a lot. A blessing. So remember that God established the structure of the church for our blessing. Your pastors have good qualities. Maybe they have a little quality or two here or there that needs a little polishing. Well, that's okay, they're people. You can't focus on some little thing that, well, here's a place they're just a little bit weak. Oh, that's okay, they're people. All of us have those little spaces. And that's one of the reasons you have a plural ministry. Because where one is a little bit weak, others pick up and are strong. And it just makes the group a blessing together. Sometimes your pastors may face discouragement. There are people this way too, and I've had some experience with that. But you know, years past, John Yoder was pastor at Cuba for many years before I was, up to my time. He was at one time when he was very, very cast down. Things weren't going well in the church, and people wish you were gone, and all these kinds of things, and he just, should I just step out and go? But he said, in a relatively short period of time, he heard three sermons on Jonah. So he took that as a message from the Lord. No, you don't just run away. I'm so thankful that he didn't run away. Where would the church be today if John would have given way to all the stuff? And where would we be? Where would I be? I don't know. I'm thankful for a pastor that stood up and was strong and leading and kept on leading. The church at Cuba is the only place I've ever been. It's a place that I appreciate being. Well, sometimes our pastors say hard things. You know what? Sometimes pastors need to say hard things. That's hard to say. Those things are heart-rending. They don't appreciate having to correct you. That's no fun on their part. But when they do, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the chastening. The chastening that we receive, it's for our good. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness if we receive it properly and benefit from it. So pray for them. Chastening is needed sometimes. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says just a little bit about that. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 to 13. It says, now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow priests with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Yeah. The chastening of the Lord. That's part of God's design for the church, and it's for your benefit. There's about four words that would probably kind of summarize everything that we say here today, or things that you think about your pastors and so on. The first word is love, and we've talked about that some. The second one is respect. The third one is appreciation. And the fourth one is obedience. Now, love them, esteem them highly in love. And we'll talk about some practical expressions of that after a bit. But respect them. Recognize them as God's servants placed in the church for your benefit. They are here to bless you. The Holy Spirit is the supervisor of the church on earth. And it says he sets in the body the gifts severally as he wills for the benefit of the whole congregation. Respect them in their position. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says like this. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So the first phrase there, he makes reference to the matter of they're in charge. They have the rule over you. They have some authority to guide the church. But then he says, in the last part of that verse, he said, follow whose faith follow. Follow them. That's why when we have ordination, we choose men of good character. And we also look at their wives. Do they have good character? Yeah, that's the kind of people that God is looking for to lead the church. Because he said, follow their faith. They're living before you to lead you. You're like sheep. You follow the shepherd. They can't drive you. You see. Well, appreciation. Be thankful. That's a condition. Be ye thankful is a statement from the scriptures. That is a condition of your heart toward God. That's what that is. Then we need to express that. We'll get to that after a minute. Obedience. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Here's what it says. Oh, this word obey is right here just in plain as day. Sometimes we don't like that word, but that's a word that's a blessing. You know, when children learn obedience, isn't that a blessing in the home? Doesn't that bless the parents? Doesn't that make that home a beautiful picture in the community, a good testimony? Children learn to obey their parents. Well, this is not a matter of pastor standing up with a stick and, hey, this and this and this. No, it's not that kind of spirit at all. It's a matter of them living before you, and you're commanded to follow them. Follow their example. Follow what they teach you. And your church will be a beautiful place that you'll enjoy, and you'll have a beautiful testimony in your community. You have a team that works together. It's pretty safe to follow them. You know, if you just have one man, you know, there's been different places that you know of in history where one man led a group of people down a wrong path. A plural ministry is good. It is a blessing. It's pretty safe to follow your Follow your pastors. Now, following them doesn't mean that you don't have anything to say. No, they'll hear your counsel. You have some good ideas too. And it's right for you to share it with them. And they'll consider those things. But they're going to lead you then the way that they feel is the right and the best for you. Guard against partiality. Guard against partiality. Recognize the contribution that each one makes with his gift that he makes to the group. Corinthians, they said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. No. The Holy Spirit places the gifts in the body. He places a variety of gifts that it might be complete. You know, gift of prophet is good. Gift of mercy is good. But if you have all prophet, that's not good. If you have all mercy, that's not good. So God places members in the body. He places people on the leadership team. There are differing gifts that fit together to make the leadership team a beautiful thing. And you can appreciate it. Now, I brought a picture along here this morning. Now, it's just a scenery picture. Now, some of you in the back, you probably can't see this very well, but I'm going to tell you about this picture just to illustrate what I'm talking about when I see your minister team as a wonderful thing to have a plural ministry. You see it has a lake here. Lakes are beautiful. In the background, you have a mountain. And over here, you have a path. Don't that kind of look inviting? Just take a walk down the path, and you have beautiful trees. Well, if all you had in this picture was just a picture of blue water, it wouldn't be very attractive. If all you had in the picture, just a mountain, that's all there was. No sky, no water. If just a walking path. No, if you just had one of those things, the picture wouldn't really be very attractive, wouldn't have much value. It wouldn't sell for a very big price. But when you put all these things together, look, it's a beautiful picture. I'm sorry if you can't all see it back there. If I was a computer man, I'd brought just a little gizmo gadgets and you could have stuck it on your wall up here. I don't know how to do that. So we just have to make the best we can. But you get the picture. You know what a picture is. And how different things make the picture come together in a very pleasant, very beautiful thing. Think about your ministry team that way. You know, each one of them brings a gift to your team and appreciate the group as a whole. Don't be partial and pick out one. Say, I'm a Cephas, I'm a Paul, I'm a Peter. No, don't, not that way. But bless the team. Each one adds a beautiful aspect to it. When you think of your minister team, think of them together. It may be each of them have a little area that still needs polishing, like I mentioned before. Don't focus on those things. You don't expect them to be perfect. Another little note that you need to remember, too, is that you don't expect their children to be perfect either. No, they're people just like the rest of us are. Their children have the same kind of tendencies that other children do, and sometimes they're going to do it wrong. That's okay. We don't need to condemn someone for that, but children, this don't give you right to go out and blow it because you don't expect it to be perfect anyway. No, walk straight, because children are old enough to understand. They need to understand too that how they conduct themselves will have something to do with the effectiveness of their father's ministry. It just works that way. Well, let's think about a few practical expressions of appreciation to our ministers yet. I'd encourage every one of you to work hard at developing, if you don't already have it, and probably most of you do, but just be reminded. We want to have a warm spirit of friendship toward our ministers. It's a relationship. A friend is a beautiful relationship. You know that your pastors can feel your spirit? They know how you feel. They know if you really have a warm spirit toward them or if you have something else, they can feel that. Brother Tom has been one of my friends for a long time. You know, when I call Tom, maybe my name comes up on his cell phone, he recognizes my voice or something, he says, Brother James. You know, it's a beautiful, warm expression that I hear from Brother Tom every time I call him. You know, I've felt that kind of spirit from all your ministers. I just haven't had as close a relationship and haven't talked to them as many times as I've talked to Tom. Tom and I have worked together many times in ordinations and licensings and those kinds of things through the years, and it kind of brings our hearts together. Well, 3 John, the last phrase in 3 John, might be some of you would know what that phrase is, but it's just a very short little phrase. Last phrase in 3 John. It says, greet the friends by name. Greet the friends by name. You know, people like to hear their name. Is there something special about somebody coming up to you and shaking your hand and saying, good morning, John or Tom or Paul or whoever your name might be, if they call your name? There's something special about that. Do you know that a child's name, that's the most beautiful term on earth, to call a child by name? Well, we don't completely grow out of that as we get older. You know, for somebody to call you by name, it expresses a little warmer, friendship than just, good morning. When you think about these relationships and we think about things across the gender lines, you know, be careful about those things. But you don't call somebody by name every time you talk to him, those kinds of things. But to call a person by name, it's okay. When you think about it, you heard somebody preach and you walk out past the door and you say, that's a good message. Good. But you know, that's a little bit generic. You know, it's easy to say that. But you know, what was in that message that made it good to your heart? Was there something he said in that message that you got that blessed your soul? Tell him that. It's okay. It's okay to say that was a good message this morning if you don't have something else. But it's more meaningful to your pastors if you say, you know, you said something this morning that spoke to my heart. So I'd encourage you to pay mind to those things. Sometimes it's good to make public expressions. You know, we had an opportunity this morning to make a public expression of appreciation for your ministers. That's good sometimes. Not something you do every Sunday, but at times you do. Just past Sunday at home, our brother got up to teach Sunday school class, and he made some comments. He said just a couple weeks ago, I heard a message on worship, and he made a comment or two about the worship, about what was said in that message. Well, I preached that message. I heard him say that. It was a blessing. It was encouraging. Somebody was blessed by something that I shared with them. I was at Sandy Ridge, preached there probably 2 or 3 years ago, one Sunday evening. And here a couple months ago, a truck driver came in, a semi came in to pick up a load of steel. And the guy got out, and he was from Sandy Ridge. And he recognized me, and he said, hey, you was at Sandy Ridge, preached for us a couple while ago. He said, I still got some things on my desk that you said that night. Hey, those things are encouraging. You know, somebody heard something, somebody remembered something. You know, it says in Proverbs 25, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Oh, yeah. A word fitly spoken is beautiful. Notes in the mailbox. We got notes in our mailbox at home. We got little thank you cards with personal notes written on them. Those little personal notes are helpful. They're encouraging. I talked to Brother Jerry Helmuth and asked him a couple questions about this whole thing. And he said, you know, we got a family in church that about 3 times every year, 2 or 3 times every year, I get a card of appreciation from that family. Well, that's kind of outstanding. That probably don't happen for very many families. But it's a good thing. I was a pastor of the school, the principal pastor of the school for a number of years. And for a number of years, one family at Christmas time would bring me a little loaf of bread. It didn't cost much. But that little loaf of bread meant a lot. Yeah. It expressed a spirit that they had in their heart of appreciation. So to give a note of appreciation, it don't have to be a big thing. No. A little loaf of bread was something that they made with their own hands. You see. Oh, we found a plate of cookies in our car sometimes, or apple pie, or Sometimes there's a gift card in our mailbox. Might be from a hardware store. Might be from a restaurant or a car wash or a gas station. You know, those little expressions of appreciation, they don't have to be big, but they mean a lot to know that somebody is out there that is a friend to you. Maybe a call on his birthday, a birthday card with a personal note. Maybe you could rake their leaves if they have that kind of a need. I know our youth group at home does that kind of thing sometimes, and that is good. Maybe his fence needs painted. Maybe he needs a helping hand with something else. My brother just earlier in the service, you were talking about somebody needs a helping hand. Are we willing to express a friendship to give them a helping hand? It don't suit everybody, that's for sure. Maybe you do his chores while he's away. One time we had, been summertime, we were baling straw. We had, I don't know, 6 or 7 wagon loads of straw sitting in our barnyard to be unloaded. Brother went home from church from work that evening. He saw that, and next morning he came with his boys and said, "Hey, let's help you unload the straw." Well, that was a blessing. We unloaded those loads of straw in just a little while. You know, ministers' wives are busy too. Now, we just spent a lot of time talking about ministers, but appreciate your ministers' wives. We've had a real blessing at Cuba with good ministers' wives. They've had a good relationship, and they still do. And I trust that's, I think that's the way here. I don't think there's anything else that I know of. But they have a good relationship, and that is a blessing. You know, sometimes they might have 200 ears of corn to take care of sweet corn. They might have a 2 bushel of peas to shell, and maybe they have children that they need to tend to, and maybe sometimes just lend a helping hand. My wife said this happened one time. She said somebody stopped in one day to help her with the work, and then they took her out for dinner. Well, wasn't that a blessing? That's encouraging for our wives to know that they're appreciated in the church too. You know, my daughter-in-law, Donna, Ron's wife, was one of the speakers at the Faithful Wives Seminar at Plain City, Deeper Life Ministries. And during the time that she was preparing for that, she put a lot into it. Ron said one day, "You know, they say you should spend an hour studying for every 30 seconds you're going to talk." She said, she just about made that. You know, she put a lot into it. But you know what happened? They have 5 children. 2 of them are in school and 3 of them are younger. And some of the sisters are like, "Hey, let's take your children today so you have time." Others brought meals. Others said, "We're praying for you." They gave her words of encouragement. It just lifted her up. She did a good job with it. Well, tell the pastor's wife that you appreciated something about his sermon that morning. It'll get to the pastor that way. It's okay for the sisters to tell the pastors those things, but sometimes it's just appropriate for the sisters to tell their wives, and their wives get the message to the right places. Jerry's wife told me this. She said she has a whole stack of thank you notes that she's collected through the years from things that come in her mailbox or things that are handed to her and these kinds of things. Well, you can include them sometimes in social gatherings. Oh, you won't invite all your pastors all the time for everything. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But, you know, sometime, maybe one of your pastor families could come with you to some kind of a social gathering to let them be included there. Invite them to your house. Invite them to your house for supper, for a snack, for a picnic, you know, something to build a relationship. They feel your spirit through those things. And it's a spirit that just encourages them to keep on doing what they're doing and giving leadership to the flock. You know, just here a couple weeks ago, a brother in church said something like this. He said, the point is, seek their counsel in things that pertain to church life especially, but seek their counsel in things that pertain to your life. And one of the brethren at home said, you know, when it comes to something new in the church, Seek their counsel. Seek the counsel of your pastors before you go ahead and do it. Well, yeah, that's just giving respect and showing them that you want to be a blessing in the congregation working with them. So you think about all these things, you'll remember them all, but you might remember something from the message this morning. And we bind all these things together with a consistent spirit of prayer for your pastors. Pray for them. Pray for them. They have battles too. I know sometimes in time past, I was pastor, I'd be studying, preach on Sunday morning. I'd be down in my study and the tractors would be out in the field and my mind would be going here and there. And, you know, sometimes it's a battle. Tom's smiling, he knows all about that stuff. You know, it's just, we just need help. You know, prayer gives support. Don't let them fight that battle alone. Pray for them that the powers of evil and the influence there would be destroyed and they could prepare good. A sermon well prepared is what blesses the people. But it takes victory over all the oppositions that the pastor faces and all these things. Now, I brought two more pictures along. These are pictures. The pastor John Yoder before us, he had these pictures made. My father-in-law was an artist, and so he told my father-in-law what kind of thought he had in mind and how he wanted that depicted. He's talking about relationships in the church. And what this little picture here represents, you see these, the pastor back here, he's got his hands up in the air. What's he doing? And the oars are all over the place. There's confusion. Every evil work's going on. What kind of church is this? You know, if you want to encourage your pastors, you can't be like this. No. I'll show you the next picture in just a moment. No, they're going for a storm here. John said, I want you to make the boat look like it's not sitting in the water. No, it's just like we're going for a storm and it looks like it's going to sink, probably. That's the kind of church you don't want to have. Well, we got another picture. This picture is the other side. Here on this picture, you see the pastor back here, he has a hand on the udder. He has his hand up and the oars are in the water. All the people have a hold of their oar and they're pulling together. And they're going toward a storm. You know, this church will probably survive the storm. That other one's probably going to sink. No. Do you want to encourage your pastors? Be like this. Put your hand on the oar and pull together and encourage them to lead, and your church will be blessed. You'll make it through the storm. You'll survive.
Well, this morning, folks, thank you for listening this morning. Those are his thoughts that the Lord brought to my mind to share with you. I just want to encourage you, bring these things to your remembrance. Exercise them through the year. You know, encouraging your pastor will bless your life. You'll receive as much as they do. So I'd encourage you to keep up on the things you've been doing. If you've been reminded of some more things this morning, add those, and you'll be blessed together. Let's pray. Our loving Father, again this morning, we pause here, we give you thanks. Lord, it's a beautiful privilege for us to be part of the church, part of the very bride of Christ that's looking forward to glory. Father, I pray this morning that you'd bless this congregation. Lord, you have given to them a pastor team that works together in harmony and is a blessing to the church. And Lord, let the church encourage them. Remind the church to bless them and pray for them. Lord, we appreciate the friendship that we feel in this congregation. Lord, bless these people as they pull together, going toward glory, helping everyone to arrive there at peace in the presence of Jesus. So, Lord, today, bless each one that pastors here. Bless the people, Lord, as they attend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you folks for being here today, for listening. It was a privilege to be here with you.